Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now! Talk Productions, one of the few black-owned radio network stations that focus on the solutions of the black community, presents Black Urban America. If you're listening by laptop, you know, if you have a comment or a question, you may dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. That's 516-531-9540 and press 1. Here's the lineup. Tonight, Tuesdays, every Tuesday, we have Black Urban America, and I'm your host, Kenny Jones. Every Wednesdays, we have The Cutting Edge with Michonne Williams. Starting this Thursday, we have the Port of Harlem Radio with Wayne A. Young. And then we finish the week with Provocative Thought with Carlton Steve. And, you know, we're almost there. We're going to have every show. Every night we're going to have a show. We're almost there. We just got to take care of Mondays and Fridays. No shows on Sundays. And it's funny that press one if you have a comment or a statement. It's funny that I play this this record every week by Public Enemy called Shut It Down. We need to shut down the United States of America right now. I don't want to say I'm embarrassed to be American right now, but the way we're handling things is crazy. You know, right now, they don't have a vaccine. And if they did have a vaccine, you don't know if it's going to work. Only 44% of Americans said they will take it. I don't blame the other percentage not taking it. You know, because, hey, you don't know what this vaccine could do. The way this whole virus has been handled by politicians, if I had the power, I'd get the whole list of Congress, senators, what have you, and just whoever's running against them, boom, they're automatically in. It's a shame the way these politicians and later on in the show, I'm going to bring up the issue of unemployment insurance. You know, how spread apart these individuals are. Like, who are they representing? And the World Health Organization just came out with a report that now there's an increase of young adults that are, their numbers are up, are carrying the virus. Now, I see a correlation with the numbers being up with young adults, with the colleges and the university opening up the schools. And the World Health Organization just came out with this. The coronavirus is now the third leading cause of death in the United States. What's up with that, Michonne? The third, I mean, how you feel how these people are handling this illness, this disease, this virus, this plague. Some people are starting to call it a plague.
I believe it's a plague. I believe that Trump dropped the ball. He knew about it. ahead of time when he should have.
He's not the only one. He's not the only one that dropped the ball, man. A lot of these governors, Florida, Georgia, Texas, Idaho, and half of them are Republicans. Even though a lot of Republican governors didn't listen to Trump, and their states are doing pretty good.
I understand that, but the buck stops with him. He is their president because he'll never be mine. And you just can't trust the government. So far as the COVID vaccine goes, some of the ingredients that they say they're putting in these vaccines, I wouldn't take it anyway. They're using fetuses.
What? Fetus?
Formaldehyde and different things in these vaccines. So.
Formaldehyde for dead people. Isn't formaldehyde for dead people?
Yes.
That's what they put in the dead people to make them look good for the funeral, right?
Exactly, but the FDA approves for companies to use certain things that are not, they shouldn't be edible or should be used as something edible, like in cereal, for instance. They let them put plastics,
paint thinner.
Well, it's true. I looked on the ingredients of certain boxes of cereal.
Yeah. Or another piece of food, too, they use plastics. I forgot. Popeye chicken used plastics. And
I don't eat Popeye's.
I don't either.
I used to, but I don't.
Me, too.
I don't trust it.
Yeah. Oh, man. And people actually fight over that, kill over that diabetes food. Ooh, the cancerous food, man. Oh my God. It's like the way we're going, the way we're handling this, we're not handling it properly. Every time a health specialist come on one of these mainstream news shows, or if I go off mainstream and go to social media, And listen to some of these alternative health specialists, they basically say the same thing, that this crisis is getting worse and worse. And it is described as a forest fire. Just keep feeding and feeding and feeding. I just want to know, Michonne, like, how can people trust to send their kids to school? You know those kids ain't going to keep on. Those face masks. Adults hardly can't keep on face masks all day. And they get the plan and what have you, and they got to sit in one classroom all day. And some school is not even practicing social distancing.
Well, I agree. It is hard. And there are dangers of wearing a face mask too much.
Really? I know sometimes it's hard to breathe.
Right, and you can't control everybody all the time. And just because you wear a face mask, if you walk into an auditorium or you're in a classroom and there's no social distancing and you're coming in contact, close contact with all these different people, then there's no way you can control these kids out here in class.
Yeah, it's no way. I mean, I saw a clip of these kids going back to school, these college kids. They partying, jumping up and down. Half of them got on face masks, the other half don't. They're not practicing, drinking beer, just having fun, just releasing all that tension, because that's the first time back since like March, April. You know, so they, but. There was a major outbreak in North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And there was another outbreak in Boston.
Right. So
these young adults have to be very, very careful. I'm not telling them not to go back to school or anything. I'm just saying you got to be careful. You just got to watch what you're doing. You know?
Mine aren't going back to school.
I don't blame
them. So they will be doing school from home. They will be starting in about a week and a half. But, no, I'm not allowing mine to go back because I don't trust it.
I don't blame it.
And I
know
don't trust the school to protect them. So
I know
they will
they're
going to
go crazy. I know they're going to go crazy, but I don't blame them. Let me ask you something. Did you check out the president trying to control the mail-in voting by getting rid of the post office? Did you check out that move this week?
Yes, and I had also posted on my Facebook page because some mail carriers had also took pictures and posted that their mail sorting machines were taken out of the post office.
Yeah.
In some places. So
I forgot what state or county it was in. There was a truck, right, full of mailboxes taking it away. I said, wow. And it just came out today. That he backed off. He tried to control, because he's scared now. He's scared that he may not win the re-election, especially South Carolina just has primary today, South Florida just has primary today, and very low turnout, and they say this is a indication how the national election is going to be. And even some Republicans are feeling that this country is divided. Well, guess what? This country been divided for over 100, 200, 300, 400 years. It's just that they feeling the impact of it now.
Right. The only difference between that and, well, Republicans go out and vote more. Usually, I used to work the polls. I was a.
I did too. Go ahead.
And where I live, Republicans would normally turn out for elections. More so than what I saw the Democrats would. And Republicans,
you think black folks
going to
have a high turnout this year? You think black folks going to have a high turnout this year?
You know what? They will probably turn out because they don't like Trump, the majority of them. But that's another problem that I also have, not them not liking Trump because I don't like Trump either. My thing is that the Democratic Party and the DNC, I don't like how they treat black males.
Right.
That's a problem that I have.
We are very invisible in the Democratic Party. I have always been invisible in the Democratic Party. In fact, they rather to have another black man from another part of the world, just got his papers, just became part of the political process maybe for 15 years, 20 years. They'd rather deal with him than deal with a black man from America. Why is that?
Well, they fear the black man because they know the true identity of black men. And also, they like feminization of the black male. They don't feel threatened by a feminine male. But a real man, they're terrified.
What you think of Kamala Harris or Kamala?
What do I think of her?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like a lot of the things she did. her
while she was in California.
Yes.
While she was in. Mm-hmm.
What she did with the prison prisoners.
Because she was a prosecutor.
How, right. And she was locking up black men for nonviolent crimes, for giving them a lot of time for just having weed. I don't think she is, how can I put this? You know, she's black, but she's not black. She doesn't, I don't believe she truly identifies as black.
She's 25% black. Because her mom's was India, from India, East India, and East India, depending on the part, they have a lot of people that look very African descended, you know, dark skin,
well,
slick
that's
hair.
Because they were ruled by Africa,
right,
for a very long time. So that's where that
I don't think
from.
She's from the red. The ones that had the red dot on their forehead. But she do have a lot of white blood in her because her father was half Jamaican, half white. So she had white grandparents, I guess.
I don't think she truly identifies with the black race. I think it's convenient for her at this time because she is running for office with Joe Biden. And I keep hearing people say we got to vote for the lesser of two evils, but I disagree. Now, a lot of people don't agree with me. They're like, okay, we need to get Trump out of office. So personally, I don't like any of the candidates that's running at all.
Me neither. But see, I know the history of Joe Biden. I know the history of Joe Biden from Delaware. And what he did in that state with black folks, black folks just started to make a comeback in Delaware. And then how he treated Anita Hill when she went against Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. I mean, he went in on Anita Hill. And then come right afterwards, And do a crime bill with Billy Boy Clinton.
Right.
So Joe Biden has not been the best friend of the black community in the United States. Have not. If you want to join me and be Sean, you could press 1 or dial 516-531-9540. If you want to join in the conversation, you know, by all means, you're welcome. Because my guest has stood me up, but that's okay. Well, but I get to discuss and topics that interest me. And these topics are interesting to me. So that's why I am discussing them. Hey, Michonne, know, instead of Dr. Watkins said, is he not going to vote for neither one of them? He go right in a candidate. Because there's a space, you know, you got the Democrat nominee and Republican. Underneath it's a blank space. You know, I might write in somebody too. You know, so
I don't know who.
I might write in Bill Cosby or something. Yeah, but
see, the Democratic Party takes advantage of the black vote, and
right.
A lot of black people seem to think that they need the Democratic Party for some reason. I haven't figured that out yet.
Because we've been brainwashed to feel that way. And I've been saying this since I was like 19 years old. For many decades, I've been saying, we need to stand. Well, they tried. They tried in 1972 or 71 in Gary, Indiana, in a black convention that had scholars, politicians, educators, laborers, union people from all spectrum there for a convention for a week, and they couldn't agree on anything. Matter of fact, a delegation, I want to say Mississippi. I got to watch the film again. They all just left. A couple states delegates just left. They tried to put together a national agenda. We did try to form our own part, the Black Panthers in the late 60s. That was one of their 10-point plans. Have our own political party. If we have our own political party, we can have a seat, like we talked about last week, having a seat at the table. But how can you have a seat at the table when you don't have agenda? How can you have a seat at the table when you don't have a political process or political party? And you got to start on the look. Who was affected of this? When Obama came, was elected president, there was the Tea Party. Now, that's where McConnell and them come from, the Tea Party. People were elected, and they started in town halls, town meetings, council meetings. And they started with local elections, city council, mayors, state representatives. And 8 years, they control the House, the Senate, they control the Supreme Court. All started from the Tea Party in 2008. Oh, we have somebody. Welcome to Black Urban America, 6120. You're on the air.
How's everyone doing?
I'm fine.
I'm good.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic you guys are talking about tonight. And with respect to the Black Party, I don't know if the Black Party as much as you need to organize meeting block.
You're fading.
Hello?
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 Okay. You have Hello? Faded out for a minute. Okay, finish speaking.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah. I think we need a voting block or become political free agents, not necessarily a party. But what we need to do is if there's 42 million of us, and I don't know out of that group how many of us are actually voting age, but if we can push our own candidates out there, I think that's more important than actually getting a party. And we can push our own candidates out there, and they can go as political free agents and be like, yo, we going wherever the money is at, and whoever's going to vote on our behalf. And saying this is what we need, and we're going to vote based on our interests. So I think if we can form our own political free agency, block. Party did with their candidates, I think that would be a better option for Black America.
Mm-hmm. So,
well,
I think
agree
about it,
to a certain extent. I think we should be or have our own political party, and I think we should go with whoever is going to do what we need them to do for us. And not just always stick on the side of the Democrats.
Right.
Other cultures do it.
Right.
So why can't Black America do it?
Well, the reason I feel that the reason why Black America, because like I said, like I was explaining before, we tried this before about 40 years ago in 1971, Gavin, Indiana. There's so many different factions of Black America, and people just don't want to leave certain ideologies at home. such as religion, such as being a conservative or being a liberal or being a progressive. We gotta leave. Just one thing you should bring to this formulate the agenda. Hey, black man catching hell. When I say black man, I'm talking about black man, black woman, black child. The black family, the black man is catching hell in the United States in every institution, from education to housing to police to criminal justice, you name it, we're catching hell to it. And just, yes, everybody have their own philosophy, but it has to be an ongoing process. And we're good at this. Soon, when we feel that we're not being listened to, we don't want to participate. When we feel when our ideas are not taken, we don't want to participate.
Well, I agree. But far as the black male and their mistreatment and everything else that they're going through, I think more black women need to stand up and be like, no, we're not going to have this, and you're not going to do our men like that or our boys.
Well, black women have been standing up, Eshawn. I say for the past, 12 to 16 years, more and more black women have been elected to offices, running corporations, and power, and what have you. Black women are standing up.
Well, but listen, let me explain what I think Meshawn is talking about. Nobody's denying that black women have the most talent in our community. That's not even up for discussion. I think what she's saying is that black women have to lobby on behalf of black America as opposed to lobbying on behalf of the Democrat Party and all these other interests. Everything has to come down to blacks first. And once it comes down to black first, then all ideologies take a back seat to black America. So if you're an older American and you have grandparents, you have to do what's in the best interest of your grandkids and tell Nancy Pelosi where she can go. Because going down there and lobbying on behalf of immigration doesn't serve my grandkids. So that's what I think Meshawn is referring to when she says black women need to step up on black America's behalf. There's no doubt that black women are excelling in corporate America, the business world, and wherever else, even in politics, as you mentioned. But the problem we have, or the biggest problem, in my opinion, is that black women are not lobbying, or are not enough of us, or the right ones who are in the right position are not lobbying on behalf of black America, in my opinion, in my view.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. And then some black women get in these positions and they like the position, they like the money, they like the clout, and they don't want to lose.
I can give you a run down the names. Angela Rye, she was on CNN or MSNBC today. Donna Brazile, she was on Fox. Joy Reid, Joy Reid is not lobbying on our behalf. And if she did lobby on our behalf, then in all honesty, she wouldn't have the job. MSNBC would have. Remember what MSNBC did to the one black woman who every Saturday morning, I can't remember the light-skinned lady's name, but she was black. And every Saturday morning she had a show, and she used to lobby on behalf of black America. But MSNBC quickly got rid of her. I can't remember her name. She was a light-skinned young lady. She had long braids, and MSNBC got rid of her. And I guess Joy Reid filled in her void, but you know, you're lobbying on behalf of Democrats. And I keep telling everyone, their interest is not our interest. Nancy Pelosi checklist starts off with immigration, followed up by who knows what. But it has nothing to do with reparation, curriculum control in majority black schools. Their initiative is not our initiative. We need black women to lobby on our behalf. Simone Sanders, she's up here railing for Jim Crow Joe. And what does that have to do with black America?
A lot of them are.
Right.
That's
the problem.
Yeah.
Imagine if we had all these black women in unison lobby on behalf of black America instead of Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders and all this other nonsense. Be one, blacks first. I mean, that has to be the chorus. Irrespective of your ideology, that has to be the chorus. That's the only way we can get anything done. Our black vote is the only thing we have left. They don't need our labor anymore.
And they're trying to stick.
Black vote is the only thing we have left.
They're trying like the Dickens. They're trying every type of strategy to suppress the black vote this year. The black vote might be in danger. I really don't know, but we seriously have to. Yeah, go ahead, Michelle.
Black vote can still play kingmaker, and it's going to be that way for some time. Even with, you know, the rise of Hispanics, Hispanics don't really vote as much as we do. I mean, they're in here primarily to make a
they
come
don't.
Up, send somebody back.
Latino's been
That's because they ain't really into it like we are. They'll vote because somebody told them to vote. But for the most part, they're here to, you know, make a living and send money home to Honduras and El Salvador. They don't get involved in it like we do. Or they're not as passionate as we are about it. They can take it or leave it.
Right. They just want to work
right,
for about
see,
and that's stereotype. I'm sorry.
Huh? Okay. Like when those others come in, they have a different history than we do. They weren't over here as slaves, their ancestors and all that. So when you look at the black race, the ones that was from here, I'm not talking about the ones that immigrated over here the last 30 years or whatever, but people who had family members who were in slavery and things like that, they don't look at it the same way we do because they didn't have the same experience as we did over here, like from the grandparents, the great-grandparents, your parents, is different. It might
and
be bad where they were, but it's still different.
And we fighting these wars, and we spend Jim Crow, the Civil Rights era, the Black Panther movement. Oh, speak of movements, what y'all think about Black Lives Matter?
Front group for white liberals, definitely, without question.
Right, they got that gay agenda.
Right,
and
front group for,
I'm not
for
with
white
that.
Liberals.
Well, let me ask you, do you
and
think
white
that the LGBTQ agenda should be a part of our agenda?
No. But I don't know. That's a hard one to call because
it's absolutely
they,
not.
They face injustice too.
I don't care.
That's what I'm saying. That's the whole thing.
But they got a choice. They got a choice because they got that lifestyle that they choose.
Well, some
we were born
with it.
So I don't.
I don't
care.
Know
that's
if everybody's choosing though, especially men. A lot of men might. I believe they're born that way. Women might be choosing.
Yeah,
a lot of women
things.
Are just. Oh, you know what? On second thought, I think I want to be with them. I'm just telling you.
They choosing. At the end of the day, they got a choice.
A lot of black psychiatrists of America said that. That a lot of individuals in that community are born that way.
I definitely believe men, most men are.
Psychologically wrong with them. Like they said a long time ago. And I'm tired of them always changing stuff up to fit somebody.
Well, I'm not saying that something in their mind is not functioning properly. I mean, we have kids that are born with three legs and three arms and kids, Siamese twins, where they're born jointed in the head. So that's not, you know, that still doesn't mean they can't be born that way because something is wrong with them in their head. I mean, they could be born with a mental condition with a same-sex attraction, you know.
I don't know. Well, I think that's
bring
I do know.
Call
I
in.
This,
I can just
want
your
sure.
people, Ms. Sean. Hey, welcome to Black Urban America 5240. Join the conversation. Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Welcome to Black Group America. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say that that was a showing earlier about, you know, I agree with the callers when they're saying that, you know, black women have got more education, black women have got the better jobs, black women got, but yeah, so they just have to lobby for the black man more. Like one caller said, I remember that lady being.
Why we got to rely on the sisters? I mean, come on, the sisters got to have the children, raise the children, take care of the home. Go out work. Why the brothers can't lie? Why the brothers can't do for self? Why the brothers can't go out to these meetings? Why the brothers can't go out in the streets and advocate for a black agenda? Why we got to have our sister always to wipe our behinds?
Well, number one, right out of the gate on
I'm
a fundamental
right
level.
Hey, like I said before, let the sisters, like I
because
said before,
the
let the sisters lie. So the sisters ain't doing nothing for everybody anyway.
One at a time.
Like I
man,
said,
let's get
one at a
time.
One at a time. All right. Let 5240 go, and then you chime in after that, 6120. Go ahead.
Okay, like I said before, black women got more education. Black women got a lot of more stuff. When I say let the black women lobby, I'm not saying that we can't speak, but they need to lobby and we can speak together. We need to go in there together. But if they speak and let them know we behind our African-American men that's doing things positive, that I think that's important. But like, hey, you know what I'm saying, I'm behind these queens. We can do better when we come together and do stuff and stand up together. Right now, there's a lot of things going on to keep us divided, to keep our bikes going, keep us fighting one another, stuff like that. But to come together as a front and say, you know what, we're going to represent each other, we're going to look for each other, we're going to fight for each other. So I'm saying as black women got more education, they start, we can finish, or we go together. But it's got to be a unity. It's got to be cohesion. It can't be, you know what I'm saying, it's got to be that in every city where we got to start fighting together and start doing stuff together so we know we be in cohesion for the black. And I think they have to start at a young race. I mean, start when they're younger, respecting one another so we can come up. But all this dividing and all this other stuff, it's just hard to do, you know what I mean? So when they see us, they're like, okay, well, they're going to be dividing, fighting against one another and all this other stuff. I think it just has to be cohesion.
I have a question for you.
Always coming together.
I have a question for y'all. Do you think that black women respect black men today? I know they used to respect us. Like my father.
No, I can honestly tell you, no.
Like the last 40 years.
No, I mean,
like
it got worse over the years. Because I know years ago.
Years
ago they did.
I think it's fluid. It depends on the situation. Some instances they could, they do. In other instances, they might not.
But
a
I
lot
think
of
them
on the individual man. So,
yeah, independent.
You know, I think,
I'm independent
situation.
Woman. I'm strong. I don't need a man. And you know, he can't do this and all this other stuff. So I think a lot of that got to do with TV, rap videos.
I hear that all the time. I hear that all the time.
And I was talking to a young man today in Florida. He said women. Now, he got a good job. A UPS make good money, got his own stuff. Women don't respect a good man nowadays because you know what they say, you're lame, you're boring, you're this. You know what I'm saying? You always got to be on some type of other BS people. But like I said, I know for me, for being an older gentleman, I remember at his age, I had more respect from black women. As the generations go, it's less because, you know, it's more single women raising kids. And they raise them daughter, you know, they mad at the father. They mad at this man. They mad at that man. Oh, he ain't shit. You got to be strong. You can't bring no man depend on all this. So the young girls hear that, and then they get the rapping and all this other stuff, and other girls get the rapping, get the bag, get the money, F them and all that. That's processing in their head year after year after year. So that's what they thinking.
Do you feel that? Let me ask you. Do you feel that that will be – maybe that's why we have such a divided community because so many families are being raised by single parents and not by both parents? And even if the mother and father are not together, at least they could co-parent. Do you think that will be the destruction – of our community if we don't learn how, if we don't rebuild our families.
Yes, sir. My thing, even if you co-parenting like I did, even if you co-parenting, the man got to step up to the plate and do his part. That means when his little daughter, little son say, hey, you know, when you're trying to pick up your kid, as a man, you still got to come pick your kids up, spend time with them. Because then
yeah.
Your mom goes, you see, I see, he ain't come get you. See, I told you he wasn't about shit. He ain't shit and all that. So the kids grow up, listen to that. So if you're going to co-parent, you got to make sure you're doing your job diligent to raise the kids right. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to co-parent, because a lot of that's going on now. Single mothers, I said all the time, he ain't shit, he ain't this, a lot of that. And then it goes both ways, you know what I'm saying? Some,
yeah.
You know, men have babies. I wouldn't put it all on the women, but I would say, you know, some women, you know, some men have babies, don't come see them, don't spend time with them in the same city, don't do nothing. So I'm thinking, even if you're co-parenting, you still have to do your job. When you make a promise to your kid, you got to say, like I did, okay, I'm going to be there next weekend. I had to go get them, spend time with them. None of that where they just sit and wait. I mean, now my kids never did. If I say I was coming, I'm coming, unless something extreme come up, and then I was very rarely. But when I said I'm going to spend time with my girls, I spent time with them. Spent the weekend with them, came and got them. I may have my mom may have my little while, but I'll come back and get them. So my thing is, when you say you're going to do something, you have to do it. That keeps the mom not bad-mouthing you as much. And when the mom do bad-mouth you, you still have to prove it wrong every time. Every single time, so your kids know, okay, daddy was on point. Daddy was straight. So when they get, because they know it. You know, I got grown kids now, and they're, if I didn't come get that, I mean, believe me, they would let me know, okay, but dad, you never come through when you say you did. But they can never say that. Like I said, you know what I'm saying? I spent money. I did this. I did not only paying child support, I spent a lot of my own cash and money. I give out child support. So I just did what I had to do to be a man, to let the kids know I love them. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. That if you say you're going to be a father and co-parenting, a man, you got to show them, you just got to show up and do what you got to do.
Well, right before I chimed you in, okay, I asked a question, and we Michonne had strong feelings about this, and the other caller and myself were trying to explain. Do you think that the LGBTQ transgender Q, should their gender be a part of our gender, the black agenda?
Actually, at first, I was like this. At first, I didn't even think about their gender. At first, I didn't think about their gender. I was just thinking about Black Lives Matter.
That's what we were talking about. That's the discussion, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is all about gay rights.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, this is how I see it. Everybody has their own point. My point is this right here is, when I don't get uptight like a lot of people about the LGBTQ. My thing is this right here is, if you say all lives matter, it's no matter if you're gay, bisexual, I just believe in all black lives should always matter regardless of all that. It had nothing to do with all this other stuff. That's me. That's my point. All the callers can have their own point. That is my point, and I won't change my point. When you say all lives matter, that means whether you're black, I mean, if you're black or whatever, you identify with, your sexual preference have nothing to do with it. Your life should still matter. So a lot of people don't like it. They're like, oh, you know, the LGBT people put their stuff out there. Nah, man, it's kind of watered down. Now, I don't see where it's watered down. I see where you're still black. We all got gays, and I understand that. And I'm saying, and I will keep my point, and you keep yours. But like I said before, and I'm very strongly on this, I believe that all black lives matter, regardless whether you bisexual, straight, kink, I don't care what she is. I believe all black lives matter. That's my point. Now, the other callers can have their own point. That's what I believe in. So that's my take on it. I don't see where it's watered down. I don't see where it's, yes, because if I had a son and he was gay or whatever, I wouldn't say, okay, well, his life don't matter because he's gay. Nah. Or I had a daughter or whatever, or I had a brother or sister. It didn't matter to me what all that. Their life still matter, and I still love them regardless of what they do or who they do it with, it, as long as they're safe and they're happy. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other callers, you may have their own point, may get mad. But, hey, everybody got their own opinion. That's my opinion, and I'm going to stick with it to the day I die.
Well, let me ask you another question. This for everybody about BLM movement. I was reading an article by Stylus P, and Stylus P wrote an article stating that stated that Black Lives Matter movement has been supported by a billionaire, by George Soros. And that's why they're not effective pushing any legislation, because they're being controlled. Do you think the heads of Black Lives Matter, which is Patricia Kalos, Alicia Galez, and Opal Tomato, I said the last name wrong. Do you feel like BLM has been hijacked? That's how come you don't see anything being pushed or any legislation being pushed by BLM? That's what the right is trying to say. Do you think they hijacked or control?
George Soros is a billionaire behind.
Yeah, I could say that.
Of course not. That's where they can get a handle on it. That, like, they like to hijack Black movements. They can get ahead of everything, steer it the way they want it to go, where it's comfortable for them.
Can I give you a little history lesson, Michonne? This won't be the first time. This won't be the first. Charleston Heston gave money to the Black Panther Party in the 60s. Charleston, the actor, the one for the NRA, him. Of Moses, yeah, him. He gave money to the. So it won't be the first time that millionaires had gave money to a Black organization, a Black movement. Look at the Civil Rights Movement, SCLC, with Dr. King and them. I said the only movement that never received money from any millionaires, white millionaires, for anybody, was the Nation of Islam.
Well, I think the Black Lives Matter movement is watered down, because I don't feel that the LGBTQ movement and the Black Lives movement is equal.
So,
I don't support any group that supports the LGBTQ, because that is nothing I believe in. So, no, I don't support that. Now, when I found out Black Lives Matter movement, really find out what it was about when I did my research, that's what turned me off of it. So, no, I don't agree with that.
Black Lives Matter are a bunch of anarchists, white anarchists, and white LGBT people who want to go up and do away with the nuclear family and destroy capitalism and push their social agenda. That's what that is. And because they don't have the balls to do it on their own, they wait for something to go down that has to do with Blacks taking the street in terms of protesting, and they wait for us to take the street. Once we take the street, then I guess they send everybody emails, and okay, now it's time to move. We can get in, we can blend in, and we can just start tearing up stuff, and nobody will give us a hard time because the face of it is Black Lives or Black Face. So, you know, everybody feels sort of bad about what happened to Black America in the past and still happening. So they kind of, you know, take it a little easy on us. However, the same white folks wouldn't be able to get away with this if they was to do it without us, without our face being on it. So white, you know, these white liberals just couldn't come out there and start tearing up, because that would be, you know, clearly labeled as terrorism and whatever else. So they wait for us. Like one guy who was in Chicago the other day when Black Lives Matter showed up, it was a bunch of white folks, and he told them, "Son, don't show up here, because when black on blacks are killing each other and these little black babies are dying at the hands of black people, y'all never show up. The only time you Black Lives Matter show up is when black people die at the hands of a cop." So he said, "Y'all fake, man. Don't even show up here." So that's really what it's about. I mean, look around over New York. It was, I don't know how many. It was a black-on-black massacre over the weekend. Black Lives Matter didn't show up. Now, had it been one cop who would have shot one black guy, oh, they would have showed up because everybody's getting worked up. And with the help of the media, who is the arm of the Democrat Party, or to put it another way, pushing the same agenda that Black Lives Matter is, that, okay, you know, we know they're going to get everybody riled up. Once everyone is riled up, they take to the street. Let's move.
I agree with that part.
I wouldn't even take to the street if I knew Black Lives Matter was out in the street. I'm not even taking to the street because that's white liberals. Those are white liberals.
Yeah, I agree with that, too, because every time that there's a lot of blacks together and doing black crimes and shootouts, I don't see no Black Lives Matter outrage about the malls being broken into, people being shot. I don't see nobody show up at all. Like, it just don't even happen. So, to me, that's why I lost a lot of respect for myself with Black Lives Matter, because that reason, I mean, you show up when it can be a black guy robbing a white guy, and a white guy can shoot in self-defense and still, oh, the white guy did wrong and all the other stuff. My thing is, if you're going to be with it, just be with it the right way at all. Get mad at the blacks and tear down the city and turn them in. You got blacks right now. Go kill blacks. Come right back in the community. People know the other. Don't say a damn thing.
What can we do about that, folks? Because, yeah, there's a problem with police brutality and police shootings. But what can we do about this black-on-black violence that's been plagued since the 80s? This has been the 80s, man. I mean, this didn't start last year. This been going on since I was a kid.
Well, in Chicago, you can go and tell who somebody shot, and you can't trust the police because they will go back and tell the shooters who told on them.
Really?
In a lot of cases. Because they have a lot of crooked. And Illinois is known for having a lot of crooked politicians anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
They made movies about that. They made movies about
that. You have a senator that's here in Illinois getting ready to go to prison. They just got arrested by the feds. It's normal here.
Yeah, I think in order to end the black-on-black massacre, I mean, it's a multifaceted approach. On some level, you got to say, you know, create a buffer between the young kids and the older kids. It has to be a tremendous amount of outreach. The government has to play a role. In order to solve that, I mean, that might be why nobody's even talking about black-on-black massacre, because the investment in order to resolve that issue is heavy. That might be. The bill on that might be as much as reparations. I mean, well into the trillions if you really want to resolve the issue. But you got to get people jobs. You got to, if they're older, working age, you got to give them jobs, and that means you got to train them. Then we also have a lot of mental issues going. I mean, and they're coming from broken homes. I mean, to resolve that takes trillions. It takes a hell of an investment. It takes tremendous sacrifice. So that's a multifaceted. And until everybody is willing to put themselves in the back burner and put the overall community ahead of themselves, I don't really see how you can resolve it. I see it's going to be the same thing as it has in your generation, where those who can afford to run will run to the suburbs and better communities, and whoever is left behind is stuck.
I think that's what started
it's a generational thing.
I think that's what started the problem with the black exodus and was left behind with people that were. That they had the best interest in the community, and it just kept on, and now we're losing our communities. We lose our communities.
Right. Well, we're losing that, the low income community. Yeah,
we're losing our community.
We're losing the low income. But to turn it around though is that's a massive effort. Like, man, almost everyone has to pitch in to get that turned around.
And I think we're worth the investment. And I think it starts in the family, family by family, block by block, community by community, city by city, state by state. I mean, it took a while to tear down our community.
I agree.
It's going to take a while to rebuild it.
Right. I mean,
even if we started today, it might not get turned around in our lifetime.
I mean, that's heavy lifting, boy. That's a military effort. And I'm talking about on the scale of World War II. That's the kind of effort that it takes to get that turned around. Now we can do it, but again, the level of commitment that it takes to get it done is, I don't know who's willing to bear that burden.
I don't know. Well, it has to be on us. It has to be on the black man. It got to be on us.
Well, the black family all together. Black man, black woman, whoever. But it has to. Well, we have to take the lead on the issue. I agree with that. But we still need others to play a role in it. I mean, this is.
Yeah.
Because you talk about we need nerve centers. We need resources. I mean, that's a lot has to come into play on that equation.
We got to get people trained up.
So, all right, folks, that's it for this week.
I appreciate everyone for coming on the show and having a discussion with me. I didn't even cover all the topics I wanted to cover this evening. But I appreciate everybody coming on the show. And I guess I'll see y'all tomorrow night on Cutting Edge with Michonne. Hey, Michonne, what you going to talk about tomorrow night real quick?
I have a guest, Robin. She does credit repair, and she's going to be talking about how you can get your credit repair and where you can buy a home or do what you need to do. She's legitimate. She has helped me. She has helped my sister. I have referred her to friends. She's great at it. She's not no multi-level marketing or anything like that. She does it herself, and the girl is awesome.
She's an entrepreneur. Oh, that'd be exciting.
Yes, she is.
I'm out,
yes,
everyone. It's only 2 minutes left. I'm out, and I'll see everyone tomorrow night. As always, everyone have a nice week. I am because we are. We are because we are.
Hold it now.